Rat Pack, where you at?
Yo, yo, what's going on? It's Monday, September 30th. October almost here, man. It feels like October after this week. I'm Jeff. This is The Rant. We're going to break down week four. Well, there's two more games left, but everything other than the two Monday night games for you on the podcast today. A lot of takeaways coming at you here. Unfortunately, more injuries coming at you here, but we're already ready to roll. And in fact, over at ftnfantasy.com, I already have the waiver wire tool populated with an initial set. It's not complete, but there are 33 players already in there. Throughout the day on Monday, I come back. I add more players as I'm doing more research. I'll add defenses tonight as well for you streaming folks out there and fab recommendations. If you happen to be in leagues with auction bidding, I honestly think it's the only way to go, but that's just me. But if you are in those leagues, I give you a suggested range to consider bidding on those players, along with the roster ship and ESPN and Yahoo, and some notes from me as well, so you get some context as to why they're ranked where they are. FTNFantasy.com, go check it out. Promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Let's roll through these games, though. I want to start with New Orleans and Atlanta, another game where we see kicking at the forefront. Remember when we abandoned kicking in fantasy, or at least a lot of us did? Well, this year, kickers are incredible. Younghoe Koo with a 58-yarder, just piped, easy, like a chip shot to win the game here. Entertaining game, but not the best game on the Atlanta side. I am not panicking if I have Bijan Robinson. Yes, Tyler Allgeier was used a little bit more here, but I suspect this was matchup-based. Tyler Allgeier ran well between the tackles. Bijan didn't quite. I mean, it wasn't terrible for him. 4 for 46 plus 28 yards on the ground, but not what you're expecting out of a potential elite back. But I'm not panicking. If somebody else is panicking, I'd love to try and buy low on him. I know people are going to complain about Kyle Pitts. I'm going to say this until I'm blue in the face. He plays tight end. I mean, every week there's somebody who you can complain about, and probably more than just one person who you can complain about at tight end. But the bigger issue here, no touchdown scored offensively for the Falcons. I really want to see Kirk Cousins get going a little bit. Have yet to truly see that this season. On the other side, well, Derek Carr, I think, showed us the real Derek Carr over the last 2 weeks. And that's not bad. He's a QB2. He's a super flex option, but he's not the guy we saw in weeks one or two. Now, the good news is he targeted Olave a bunch. Rashid Shaheed, the first time he's seen double-digit targets in the course of his career, and he rebounded in a big way from the goose egg. But really, this is all about Alvin Kamara. I mean, a massive game yet again from a volume standpoint, 26 touches, 77 and a touchdown on the ground, 7 for 42 as a pass catcher. This is his offense, and especially when Taysom Hill goes out, unfortunately hurt after scoring two rushing touchdowns early in this one. It feels like this is the same injury. I don't have an indication whether it is or not, but the same injury that sidelined him. And a little bit too dicey to go out and add him. Plus, we know Taysom Hill is going to be Taysom Hill. Moving on to the Rams and Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears getting it done at home, holding serve. Caleb Williams didn't look great for most of this, but I'll tell you, the one throw that he made, the touchdown throw to DJ Moore, was a thing of beauty, and it was an incredible catch. Not a good game, though, for Moore. 3 for 22. You got Keenan Allen back, but the passing game was a little flat in this one. I don't think that is the be-all, end-all, because obviously it wasn't flat last week. There's a ceiling here. Caleb Williams just needs to get his legs underneath of him. Now, of course, as fantasy would go, the week that you stopped playing DeAndre Swift very likely was this week. And he goes 16 for 93 and a touchdown, 7 for 72 as a pass catcher. An enormous game. And Roshan got in the end zone as a runner. There is value to Roshan, but I think Swift is a great example of why we can't just make snap decisions. Like last week, it sucked, right? It sucked. It was supposed to be a good matchup and he didn't do well. Can't make snap decisions with guys like this, though, because if they are the lead back in a backfield, in most instances, yeah, you should keep him around. So hopefully you didn't drop DeAndre Swift. I didn't actually see him dropped in a lot of leagues. I actually saw him just not started. On the other side, Kyren Williams is rolling 7 straight games with a rushing touchdown. That's pretty stinking good. He's the Chris Carter of running backs. But one thing I wanted to point out, no end in sight yet for the Puka Nacua Cooper Kupp injuries. However, Jordan Whittington led the team in routes run and in targets and in catches. He had 8 targets, caught 6 of them, not in yards. Tutu Atwell led the way in yards, but 6 for 62. This was a solid game for Jordan Whittington. Not a breakout game by any stretch, but hey, if you're in slightly deeper leagues, I'm in a 14-teamer. I picked him up a couple weeks ago preemptively. Waivers are picked over in that league. I've just held on to him. I started him this week, and honestly, he's going to be a part of me winning a game I probably should not win. And I'll tell you the other player I started. Oh man, I blind squirreled this week on another player, but I'll tell you when we get to that game who that player was. All right, Minnesota and Green Bay. Sam Darnold's for real, but guess what? So is Jordan Love. This was the NFL version of Alabama, Georgia, because I went to bed. I have to wake up really early on Sundays to get up to New York for the TV show. So I went to bed at whatever, halftime, whatever that was, like 9 o'clock on Saturday night. And I woke up at 3:45. I go to ESPN to just kind of check things out. And I see like epic game. I missed the finish. I missed this 17-year-old with the 75-yard touchdown for Alabama. And I can't believe Georgia came back and almost won that thing. I can't believe Green Bay came back and almost won this thing. But Minnesota gets it done. Sam Darnold, 275 and 3, dropped a dime on that touchdown to Justin Jefferson. Like perfect ball placement. And Justin Jefferson, just a wonderful catch. Jordan Addison back in the mix. I think we're going to see him in wide receiver 3 territory this upcoming week when I run numbers. And Aaron Jones, despite not scoring a touchdown, massive volume and a decent enough PPR week. On the other side, so Jordan Love throws for 389 and 4. Also 3 interceptions. That's like a Brett Favre line right there. But the key, so Christian Watson was hurt early. Dontavian Wicks comes in, leads the team in targets. Is he not the best number 4 wide receiver in the league? 5 for 78 and 2. It is suspected to be a high ankle sprain for Watson, which means Wicks is going to get some run here. He's obviously going to be a bit of a priority pickup. He'll take a backseat to Jaden Reed, who is still a star. 7 for 139 and a touchdown in this one. But Wicks has value. Tucker Kraft also has value. He's clearly ahead of Musgrave. My evaluation on those guys was off from last year, unless Musgrave took a step back, because he seemed to be the more dynamic guy, whereas Kraft was more of the inline, you know, maybe a bit of a red zone. No, 6 for 53 on 9 targets and a touchdown for Tucker Kraft. So he plays tight end, though. Let's not forget that. Let's not get too far out over our skis. Pittsburgh, Indianapolis. All right, so this one was full of injuries. Probably the most noteworthy, not even probably, is Anthony Richardson. He got hurt on a quarterback run where he ran to contact, which, come on, man, just come on. Hurt his hip, comes back in, and the first play he's back in, 2 plays later, they ran the ball. Now, Shane Steichen said, hey, we thought he was good. They gave us this look, and when we get this look, I forget what he said, whether the base defense look or whatever it was. He said, when they give us this look, then we run. You know, we run the quarterback draw. So we'll see what happens. I don't have any news right now, but guess what? Your boy Joe Flacco will be the quarterback if Richardson can't go, and it wasn't bad. It was Joe Flacco again, man. 168 and 2, he got Pittman going. He got Josh Downs going, and Josh Downs, 8 for 82 and a touchdown is worth looking at. I hope you didn't drop Pittman, 6 for 113. This is the Pittman we want. Of course, there's more. Jonathan Taylor injured in the fourth quarter with an ankle. Feared to be a high ankle, though estimates are a mild high ankle. Now, you're not going to play through a mild high ankle in 1 week. Usually that's more of a 2 to 4 week absence. If it's a bad high ankle, you're talking 4, 6, maybe even longer than 6 weeks. So it does seem like it'll only be short term, but Trey Sermon would get the opportunity if Taylor doesn't go. Trey Sermon is not Jonathan Taylor. You know that, but he could still be flex worthy or potentially even slightly better. Over to the other side. Now, Justin Fields' numbers were very good. 312 and a touchdown, 55 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns. That is an elite fantasy week. The problem is I don't think the play was that good. Now, I've been critical of Justin Fields, but you know, I'm not just going to look and see fantasy points and that's it and call it a day. He made some mistakes in this one. Russell Wilson is getting closer to being able to play. Do they ultimately go to Russell Wilson? Now, I don't think they do, which is why I am going to continue to recommend Justin Fields in 1 quarterback leagues as an add, because we know what his ceiling looks like. But it is just that word of caution. Like, If it did happen, if it's week 7, week 8, whatever, and all of a sudden Russell Wilson is a starter, I don't think we should be shocked. Okay, so just putting that out there. Pickens got going here, 7 for 113. Najee Harris did not. Cordarrelle Patterson was much more effective, but he left early in the game with an ankle issue. Najee Harris looks like a plotter, and really all he was able to do was, you know, in the passing game, 3 for 54, but otherwise nothing against a defense he should have ran all over. So that was frustrating to see there. Freiermuth got in the end zone. He actually played nearly every down, which was encouraging. 5 for 57 and a touchdown. I don't think he's anything more than a streamer yet, but I did see, speaking of streaming, he moved up in my rankings because of some of the injuries and whatnot this week. And I did see some people say, hey, I picked him up because he was higher in your rankings. So good on you guys. You know, that's awesome. That's what I'm here for, man. Okay, next game, Denver and the Jets. This one was 10-9. And at halftime, Bo Nix had negative passing yards. He had 60 passing yards in this game, which is crazy. But the good news is he had 60 passing yards and Cortland Sutton had 60 receiving yards. Now, he didn't have all of the yards because Troy Franklin and Tyler Bidet, they had negative yards in this way. By the way, Bidet was hurt and it was scary, but apparently he's, you know, full movement extremities, all of that. So that is good news right there. But Sutton got going, 3 for 60 and a touchdown. Finally, like a wide receiver 2/3 week out of him, which is good. Javonte Williams ran hard, 16 for 77. I still think there's hope there. And that's about it. Over to the other side, am I concerned about Breece Hall? No, it was one game. If he does this and it spreads out over a couple weeks, I'll have concern. I still know what he is as a player, and I don't think that just disappeared. I think it was a bad weather game. It was a bad game plan game from the Jets, and ultimately I think that's it. You know, not a big deal. Same thing goes for Garrett Wilson. Tough coverage in this one. We knew that was going to happen. He goes 5 for 41. All right, in the pouring rain as well. No other major takeaways from that one. Philly-Tampa. This Eagles team needs A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, and Lane Johnson. As we expected, Saquon was fine. He tops 100 scrimmage yards. He only had 12 touches. That was the problem. 10 for 84 on the ground looked great. 2 for 32 as a pass catcher looked great. He just didn't have enough touches, but not a disaster of a day. As expected, Dallas Goedert, 7 for 62, had a tight end 1 week, right? Very, very good week. I really hope you took my warning and did not play Jahan Dotson. That was like a clear fade. He goes 2 for 11. He's on the field every down, not doing anything. If you are traded 2 years into your rookie deal as a first round selection, that is almost never a good thing. And that's the case here with Jahan Dotson. I don't know if there's any hope for him, to be honest with you. But regardless, Paris Campbell scored. Great. Over to the other side. Okay, so Mayfield was awesome. Rushing touchdown as well with the two passing scores, 347. One goes to Evans, which is nice. The other one going to Palmer. Okay, whatever. Evans and Godwin are fine. Kate Otten continuing to be like quietly productive. As far as the backfield, Rashad White is still ahead of Bucky Irving. Bucky Irving had the better fantasy numbers because he scored. Although, actually, it was surprisingly close if you look in PPR because White had 2 for 35. But regardless, White is still ahead. Irving still deserves a roster spot. And that, like, nothing really has changed from there. Let's move on to Cincinnati, Carolina. Didn't quite get that sweet revenge for Andy Dalton, but he wasn't bad. Got, you know, we got another touchdown for Deontay Johnson. All is right with the world with Deontay Johnson, 7 for 83 and a score. Xavier Leggett gets going, 6 for 66 and a score on 10 targets. It was clear that Dalton looks more his way than Mingo. Mingo only had 5 targets in this game. Chuba Hubbard rolling here. So Jonathan Brooks could be back this week. Jonathan Brooks has yet to really be with the team, so I still think we're going to see Hubbard for a little bit. I think eventually that'll phase out, but I think we can get some production from Hubbard in October. Back-to-back 100-yard games. Scored a touchdown in this one. Not too shabby. To the other side, Chase Brown. Hopefully you didn't drop Chase Brown. Had a lot of people wanting to drop him. This is, you know, there are a couple of players this week who are like prime examples of why I like to exercise patience over the first month of the season. And especially with Chase Brown, so we got nothing out of him basically in weeks 1 and 2. Week 3, limited volume, but he really flashed. This week, not limited volume. 17 touches, 15 for 80 and 2 on the ground, and then 2 for 12 as a pass catcher. This is not a knock on Zach Moss. 19 touches for him. 15 for 51 is okay. Like, he had a couple runs. Like, 15 for 51 sounds worse than what it looked like. And then he goes 4 for 27 and a touchdown. This is the backfield we thought we were going to get coming into the season. This is the backfield we now have. And, well, it's clear who has the higher ceiling. Doesn't mean he's going to have more touches with Brown. I still think Moss is going to be the lead, but hopefully you did not drop Chase Brown. 10 targets for T. Higgins. Looks to be maybe getting going a little bit. I mean, he caught 6 for 60. It wasn't massive, but I do like the 10 targets for him. Jacksonville, Houston. Trevor Lawrence was better here. Wasn't great, but I do like that he got Brian Thomas heavily involved. 9 targets, caught 6 for 86 and a touchdown. And Christian Kirk, back-to-back weeks with solid production, 7 for 61 and a touchdown. Is it just me, or does Tank Bigsby look better than Travis Etienne? Like, not even close, kind of a lot better. I don't know. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Don't panic. That doesn't mean, oh, what, should I trade Travis Etienne away? It means, first and foremost, that Jacksonville probably should expand Tank Bigsby's role. He ripped off a couple long runs. Like, yes, it was, he had that one very long run, but there were a couple long runs in this game. You know, he on that the long run, he had more on that one play than Etienne had on all of his 11 carries. So there's something there. Doug Peterson, though, is clearly the number one. If you look at coach on the hot seat ranks, he's the number one. Over to the other side, Cam Akers with Cam Akers. I mean, come on, like, zebra can't change its stripes. But C.J. Stroud was also C.J. Stroud. 345 and 2. And let me look at, I got to check the notes here. Let me see. He targeted Nico Collins 732 times in this game. It was 15 to be precise, but wow. 12 for 151 and a touchdown. And hey, Diggs got going here as well. 5 for a very nice 69, but also scored the rushing touchdown, the first of his career. You know, without Tank Dell, that kind of sucks for if you have Tank Dell, but this is what we were looking for, especially if you have your share of Nico Collins. Really digging that right there. All right, on to the next one, Washington and Arizona. Jaden Daniels is for real. We don't, do we need any more? 3 weeks in a row. They've punted once in the last 3 weeks. He was phenomenal. He was absolutely phenomenal. Yet again, 233 and a touchdown. Now, he had an interception, whatever. 8 for 47 and a touchdown. This is modern fantasy football productivity. If I've ever seen it, I love it. He's got Terry McLaurin going, 7 for 52 and a score. He also got Olamide Zaccheaus going. There's nothing there for fantasy purposes. But Brian Robinson, 21 for 101 and a score. Caught 3 for 12. Great game. You ready for my start? Crazy start. Made a start. Needed a start. Made a start. Jeremy McNichols. I had to start him in a league. I felt so dirty doing it on Sunday morning. I'm like, this dude went 8 for 68 and 2 scores. Are you kidding me, Jeremy McNichols? It took 8 years for his breakout game to happen, but it finally happened. I got a piece of it. I have no idea how. The beauty of a deep 14-team league, huh? Anyway, it won't last, unfortunately, because that'll be Austin Eckler's role when he comes back. But it's nice to see that this team is very productive. Arizona played in the first quarter, and then that was kind of it. Marvin Harrison, 5 for 45 and a touchdown. Did all of that happen in the first quarter? The touchdown definitely did. All of his touchdowns have been in the first quarter this season. I want to see them string together a full game because that looked good. And, I mean, that was enough for fantasy purposes, but not what we were fully looking for. James Conner rolling 18 for 104 and a touchdown. And he was about it. Like, I'm not concerned about Kyler or Marvin Harrison Jr. I just want to see them go for more than a quarter. But otherwise, no. I mean, I'm not overly concerned. 1 week isn't going to cause panic for me. New England, San Francisco. So New England gets blown out. I think we're almost to the point where there's no usable New England Patriots, and that includes Ramondre Stevenson. Here's my concern with Ramondre Stevenson. He's played 4 games. He has 4 fumbles this season. That's twice as many as any other running back in the NFL right now. That is not good. Antonio Gibson really struggles between the tackles, but he is a good pass catcher. I mean, he had 3 for 67 in this one. Could he take that job? I don't know. I don't think we're any closer to seeing Drake May, unfortunately. Looks like I'm going to be off on my 4.5 line. So there's that. Over to the other side, Brock Purdy dealing just fine. 288 and one. Not a massive game, but he didn't need to. The one, by the way, was a beautiful touchdown to George Kittle, I'm sure you saw. But how about this? So Debo gets back. Juwan Jennings still led the team in receiving yards, 3 for 88. So maybe there is something here. If you picked him up, I don't think that's terrible. Debo was there, not bad, but Brandon Ayuk really just hasn't gotten going yet. Maybe that changes. We've seen this before in the course of his pro career, but either way, Jordan Mason, 24 for 123 and a score. As of now, the estimates look like Christian McCaffrey week 10 because they have a week 9 bye. Cleveland and Vegas, I don't have much to say in this one. There's not much to Vegas because, well, Davante Adams didn't play. It was a bit of a mess, and there's really not much to like here. I'm not panicking over Bowers, but there's not much to like here. Over to the other side, we had an Amari Cooper long touchdown called back. Like, that's all I can really say. I guess Jerome Ford was okay. I would love the Kansas City Chiefs to trade for Amari Cooper because that's our next game, and I'm just going to get into it. Rashee Rice, I don't have news yet, and maybe you're listening to this and the news is already out, but it sure as hell looked like a bad knee injury to me. And yeah, unfortunately, this is what happens. And man, it's even worse that his quarterback did it to him by accident, of course. But that's where we are. So what happens from here? I don't think it's Xavier Worthy. He's not that type of player. The player who's closest to Rashee Rice from a playing style standpoint right now on that team is Juju, and that's a huge downgrade. Kelce at least rebounds, 89 receiving yards in this one, which is good. That's exactly what we wanted to see at this point. Maybe it was just a slow start to the season and he just gets back to his productive ways. The backfield, Kareem Hunt led with 14 carries, 69 yards. Carson Steele looked like he was going to be the lead back, but he fumbled early. Of course, P. Ryan got the goal line carry, so it is still a mess. And from a snap standpoint, it really underscores it. Hunt played 21 snaps, that was 43%. P. Ryan played 24 snaps, 41%, and then Steele played 11 snaps. It's still bad. There's nothing but flex value there. On the other side, we didn't really get much other than a beautiful touchdown reception from Ladd McConkey, 5 for 67 and a score. J.K. Dobbins came back to earth, and I think J.K. Dobbins and Derek Carr really highlight that we can't overvalue big plays, especially early in the season. J.K. Dobbins had, you know, 3 runs of 40 plus yards over the first 2 weeks of the season, and nobody else had more than one. 2 of them went for touchdowns. Derek Carr had all those 50 plus yard touchdowns. Those are not sustainable plays. You can't keep doing them over and over and over. So if I see somebody who has those long touchdowns, like, yeah, their fantasy numbers are going to look great, but let's look under the hood. Are they getting a bunch of goal line carries? Are they down in the red area of the field, throwing to receivers in the end zone, that sort of thing? Like, things that can be more replicable, sticky week over week. And that just wasn't the case with Carr, and it isn't the case with Dobbins. Now, the good thing is Dobbins is way ahead of Gus Edwards now, but 14 for 32 with a banged up offensive line, 3 for 30. Right? He's a flex option until further notice. And maybe when those offensive linemen, Rashawn Slater and Joe Alt get back, then that changes the dynamic. But for right now, it's tough to trust him as anything more, especially with Justin Herbert still banged up, you know? And obviously, you know, we're heading into bye with this team. Their bye is this week. Hopefully they can get healthy and come back against Denver. That'll be a fun game in week 6. All right, last, certainly not least, Buffalo and Baltimore. Let's start on the Buffalo side. Better days will be ahead. Josh Allen came out and said they played with a greater sense of urgency than we did. Yeah, that was apparent. Better days are going to be ahead. But there were at least a couple encouraging things. First, Dalton Kincaid, 5 catches on 7 targets for 47 yards. I like that. Khalil Shakir did okay. You know, he got open on a broken play and padded his numbers a little bit, but if you started him 4 for 62, eh. James Cook, better days will be ahead. Same with Josh Allen. Okay, let's go to the other side. Now, the good. Derrick Henry had a massive day. And I think, you know, I saw some people like misusing my little phrase, the Derrick dilemma. It doesn't mean when you have a dilemma about a player. The Derrick dilemma is very specifically about early down running backs. And I used Derrick Henry, I named it after him because, well, he's the quintessential. But when these guys go out, they don't do a lot in the passing game. So they might have a catch or so here or there, but largely it's what they do on the ground. And you could go out and have a decent NFL game. Say you go 18 for 89. That's 8.9 points in PPR or whatever. That's not good for fantasy, but it's a decent NFL game. Now, if you go 18 for 89 and two touchdowns, now all of a sudden we're at 20. You know, that's a great day. We're over 20 points, even in PPR. That's still a great day. That's Derrick Henry. And in this one, he goes 24 for 199 and a score. Not just great. That was awesome. And then he did, fortunately, he caught three balls, but only for 10 yards. And fortunately, one of them was a touchdown. So Derrick dilemma still exists with Derrick Henry, and it exists with any early down guy. It just isn't going to hit all the time. But yeah, that we're going to have some games like that. And you just have to be aware of it with him. Not every game is going to be like the last 2 weeks, but he has been phenomenal over that span. Justice Hill is still the passing down back. 6 for 78 and a touchdown. Great. Don't chase those numbers. He is just the passing down back. Lamar is still running well. 6 for 54 in the touchdown. Threw for two scores. Easy day at the office, right? Both scores going to the running backs. Yeah. Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely aren't being used. Guess what? Nobody's being used. Zay Flowers had two targets, caught one for 10 yards. So this is, if you're running the ball this well, why the hell would you pass it? If you're winning by three scores, why the hell would you pass it? There's no reason to. So everything needs context. If you just looked at this blindly and you said, Mark Andrews had one target, no catches, great, that really sucks. But if you told me Mark Andrews ran 38 routes and that happened, that's ridiculously bad. He ran 9 routes. So I don't know what this looks like if they do end up having to start throwing it, or are they just going to, is it going to be the Lamar and King Henry show every week throughout the entire season? I don't know. But here's one thing I will say. I'm not going to tell you to drop Mark Andrews or Isaiah Likely. I'm not going to do it. That's not how I roll in this game. You have to make that decision for yourself. But I will tell you this. If you are going to drop them, you better have somebody better to drop them for. Like, you better have somebody who is higher in rankings, or, you know, is just a better long-term option. And if you have that, go for it. But don't just blindly drop for the sake of dropping. That goes for Kyle Pitts as well. It goes for any of these dudes. You know, blindly dropping, spite dropping is just bad practice. And yeah, I can't advise that. But I also am not here to run your team, and I'm not here to tell you to drop somebody. If you want to drop them, drop them. It's your team. You're the one who has to, you know, sleep at night with this team, with your decisions. So you roll that way. But that's how I make the decisions that I make. Like, if I do have somebody better, and sometimes it backfires. I mean, that's the nature of the beast. But, you know, you also have to have fun with this. And if it's just a miserable experience using Mark Andrews, then, you know, maybe it is time for you. I don't know. You have to make that determination for yourself. All right. Tomorrow we'll be back. We'll probably have more news on Rashee Rice, hopefully Anthony Richardson, maybe Jonathan Taylor as well. Give you that top 10 in waivers for you as well. But if you want the early look, go to ftnfantasy.com, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. Follow me on Twitter @JeffRatcliffe, on Instagram @JeffRatcliffe. I'll catch you on the flip. I'm Jeff, and I'm out.